to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Now the disciples had 3 years of teaching. They had 3 years of sitting under the ministry of the Lord Jesus. They must have known these things inside out. They had an inside training that they were now to confer and to pass along to every convert. And they were to do, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so there is an obedience that is required. Now let's be very clear, this obedience doesn't save you, nor does baptism save you. All the water in the world will not save a sinner's soul if there is not the inward work of grace.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. We're on the air to bring you the message of the gospel. Today we're continuing on the theme of what is baptism? As you may know, baptism is very closely related to the whole message of Christianity. John the Baptist baptized, the Lord Jesus baptized, the Book of Acts, there were countless baptisms, and right through the New Testament, this is an ordinance that is to be maintained in the church of the Lord Jesus. But what is baptism? And we're trying to take a look at that today through the message here on the broadcast. I've already read Acts chapter 8 and the whole story of the Ethiopian who was sitting in his chariot when the evangelist Philip caught up with him. And there was that Ethiopian reading the word of God from Isaiah 53. And Philip came along and said, "Understandest what thou readest? Do you understand what this is about?" And the Ethiopian asked, "How can I, except someone help me?" And so there was the divine appointment, God connecting the evangelist with the inquirer. And that day the Ethiopian called on the Lord to save him. And he was also baptized. So baptism is an ordinance that is to be obeyed by all professing believers in the Lord Jesus. If you have trusted in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you should follow the command to be baptized. Baptism is an ordinance of the church. It is the initiatory rite into the church. And it is to be performed by the church authority or the church blessing. And it is the mandate given to the apostles that they're going to all the world, preach the gospel, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, this is our subject today, and I trust that God will make this very applicable in your own heart and use this message in your own life. Baptism, the outward symbol of washing, the sign of an inward grace when a person's faith is in the cleansing blood of Jesus to wash away their sins. Let's unite in prayer and just ask the Lord to bless this word. Father, we thank thee today that there is the way of cleansing through the blood of Jesus, that the vilest of sinners and the neediest soul can be rightly related to God through the cleansing power of Jesus' precious blood. We ask that today that you will bless this word on the subject of baptism, the thing that you've commanded every believer to do in your name, and to display faith and discipleship. And we pray that you will raise up many who will be true, earnest disciples of the Lord Jesus, and that through this message, your blessing will be upon your people. We pray that you will comfort your saints. Lord, there are those who struggle, perhaps lack of assurance, maybe made a profession of salvation, have head knowledge, but really there is little of the power. Oh God, today we ask that thou wilt give us times of reviving and refreshing, that hearts may be restored, lives will be changed, and glory to your name. We ask that you'll comfort those that are lonely and despair, those who feel the pressures, the temptations of the wicked one. Oh, Lord, we pray that you'll smash the teeth of the devil and that you'll give liberty to the people of God, that they may enjoy the grace that is in Christ, enjoy the promises that are in your word, and that they may enjoy victory over the spirit, the ungodly spirit of this world. So we pray for your blessing. We pray for your nearness and your grace. And we ask that the touch of God, the blessing of our God, will be upon this broadcast today, and use it for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we move to our first hymn. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Then to the message, what is baptism? Just wanted to make sure that everybody's absolutely clear on why we're doing this, why it's a biblical thing. My real purpose tonight, and here is now my proposition, my statement of purpose. What difference does it make? What difference does it make in the life of an individual Christian when you present yourself to be baptized? Firstly, it means a new relationship. It declares that you are already united to the Lord and to his redeeming work. You have responded to the good news of the gospel. God's Son and God's grace is given to sinners through the Savior. And the only way to be rightly related to God is through the Lord Jesus. Now, this is, first of all, a vertical relationship. That's the up and down one. So we are rightly related to God through the Lord Jesus. That's our vertical relationship as a believer. And in baptism, we are saying, I am going to confess my public statement of my faith in Christ, that I am rightly related to God. I belong to him through the Lord Jesus. Then there's also the horizontal relationship, and that is unity, uniting with God's people, fellow Christians. And the baptized Christian is simply saying, I'm one of you.
I'm a baptized Christian. I have turned my back on the world. I have turned my allegiance from everything else to be a follower and a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And if there was need of evidence to convict a person of being a follower of Jesus Christ, their baptism would be number one. If you have gone through baptism, you have declared that you're serious about it. And you have identified yourself as a Christian. So it's a bold step, and it's a brotherly step. I am going to unite with God's people and be a witness of for the Lord. And so, as a baptized Christian, you are in on the action in the life of the Lord's church. You want to be part of the action. That's what you're saying. And so you have this new relationship. It also means that you have a new faith. Baptism means that you reject all other claims on your soul. In Judaism in particular, when a person was baptized as a Christian, it meant very often that they were dead. They were treated as dead. And that really is now the new statement of a born-again, baptized Christian, that they are dead to the world. All the claims of the world, all the lusts and the sin of the world, I am done with. Now look at chapter 8, verse 37, and you will see it says there, and it came to pass in those days, I'm in chapter 39 here, verse 37, chapter 8, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Here is the new expression of faith. Now it's faith in the supernatural person of Christ. He's not just Jesus. Jesus could be a common name. But he's Jesus, the Son of God. And in his redeeming work and in his work of atonement, when he died on the cross, when he poured out his blood for my salvation, it was the blood of God and had all the value of deity and infinity. And so this becomes the faith of the individual. It's also faith in the resurrection of Christ. I wanted us to sing tonight about the living Christ. Christ liveth in me. Our Lord Jesus is not dead. Our Lord Jesus is not in the grave. Our Lord Jesus is the living conqueror for his church, his people. And we are saying that I am depending on the triumph of my Lord Jesus. And I am being united unto him in the power of his resurrection. And just as my identity is Christ, I died with him, it is also that I rise again with him. And there is a segment or an aspect of baptism, especially when we have it in the believer's baptism, that when you lie down, this is kind of like a grave. And I know certain people that when baptisms are formed, they believe that the candidate for baptism should fall backwards and they should go right down into that tank as if they were being laid in a grave. And then they come up out of that again. Well, we hope they come up out of it again. We have to make sure that they don't stay down too long. And when they rise out of the water, that is the symbol of a resurrection. And so now there is, tapping into the power of the gospel, a conviction, a desire that they will enjoy not only death to sin, but resurrection power to live in the victory of the gospel. And so we see that as an aspect of baptism. Faith in the atonement, faith in the resurrection, but also faith in all the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What a promise. What a wonderful promise. He that believeth in me, then we have all the fullness and all the grace of the Lord Jesus. My last point tonight, and I suppose this is the major one, it means a new obedience. In Matthew 28, I think we should go back to that verse just to get a grasp of what the Lord Jesus did say to his disciples in his resurrection. This is the risen Christ now. Remember that. He is the risen Lord Jesus. And he's saying here in Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, the disciples had 3 years of teaching. They had 3 years of sitting under the ministry of the Lord Jesus. They must have known these things inside out. They had an inside training that they were now to confer and to pass along to every convert. And they were to do, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so there is an obedience that is required. Now, let's be very clear. This obedience doesn't save you, nor does baptism save you. All the water in the world will not save a sinner's soul if there is not the inward work of grace, changing the heart, cleansing and purifying. There has to be the inward work. The baptism is just the symbol, an outward observation of it. But each individual is to obey. And surely the Lord is calling those whom he saves, those whom he redeems, to a new obedience. And you take obedience to the Lord seriously. And you read your Bible with an interest. What am I to do? How am I now to live as a Christian? What is God's will for me? And you go to passages like Romans 12, verse 2, that we might know how to live according to the will of God. And that's a prayer now. That's your burden. My Bible is not just a fancy object. It is my manual of how to live as a Christian. I'm commanded to obey God's word. And there's no going back. That's what happens when you become a baptized believer. There's no going back because you're accounted as dead to the world. The world won't want you. The world won't receive you. And I pray God will give you the grace you need to seek God's will with all your heart. Because the Lord needs living witnesses and disciples who are out and out for the Lord Jesus. Now, there's a pointer. I will go back here to Acts chapter 8 and the verse at the end of verse 39. It says that after the baptism, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. Now, I want you to notice, he went on his way rejoicing. This man was well set to serve the Lord. He was saved. He was free from the burden of sin. And he now had a total commitment unto the Lord. Now you can be sure that there was quite a number who witnessed his baptism. This man of authority, the treasurer of the queen, he would have been escorted by guards. There would have been servants along the way in an entourage. There would have been many who witnessed this Ethiopian eunuch who went with Philip into the water and come out of the water, a baptized Christian. And all eyes are going to be on him. He's now going to become a walking New Testament. He is now the living witness of Christ. And we're told that he went on his way rejoicing. Now, his public witness for Christ, it brought joy to his own soul. What a joy it brought to him. And we learn as Christians, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that's when the Spirit of God witnesses to us. That's when the Spirit of God pours in the joy and the blessing. And there is joy for obedience. There is an immediate reward for publicly confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I said, there's no going back. The Lord has ordained baptism to be an assist to every individual Christian. It is a marker point. It is a public confession declaring your determination to follow the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of your life. And as I said, there's no going back. But when temptation comes, when the devil seeks to woo you way back into his ways, use your baptism as a weapon. Use your baptism as a defense against the allurements of sin and temptation. Why should you resist and fight the good fight of faith? Because you are a baptized Christian. You have declared your personal faith and intention to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to observe all things that was taught to you. And so this barrier, this baptism, becomes a barrier between you and the world. And it becomes a witness that you are on the side of Christ. And from this day forward, say no to the world, no to temptation. And from this day, cry to the Lord that you might be faithful in serving and following him. I pray tonight that each one who is baptized will go on their way rejoicing, and that we as a church will be a help and a strength to you, and that God in grace will pour in his Spirit into your own heart and life and wonderfully bless you. And I trust that everyone here will remember our own baptism and how we have dedicated ourselves to be disciples of Christ. Let us go on rejoicing. That surely is the will of God for us.
Patiently Jesus is calling you. Let nothing stand in your way. Think of the cost, eternally lost, if you won't let him in. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting all.
Have you kind to
Thank you for listening and being a part of our program here today as we let the Bible speak. Just a few comments on that subject of baptism. Here is a quote from Mr. Spurgeon. "There is a distinct blessing in the observance of the ordinance. It was so in my case. Up to that time, I was afraid to confess Christ. But after I was publicly baptized into his death, I lost all fear of man, and I have never been ashamed to own my Lord from that day to this. That coming out boldly for Christ was like crossing the Rubicon or burning the boats. No retreat was possible after that, nor have I ever wanted to go back to the world from which I then came out. Nothing is more plainly taught in the New Testament than that it is the duty of every believer in Christ to be baptized." Now, this is absolutely imperative, and it is important. The Christian church is made up of all that are redeemed by the blood of Christ and have received baptism. Mr. Spurgeon says, "I once met a man who had been 40 years a Christian and believed it to be his duty to be baptized. But when I spoke to him about it, he said, 'He that believeth shall not make haste.'" Now, I don't think Mr. Spurgeon was very pleased with that. He says, "I quoted to him another passage, 'I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments,' and showed him the meaning of his misapplied passage." Well, that is good counsel. Maybe we are dealing with some who are procrastinators, some who just keep putting it off. And you have professed faith in the Lord, you have assurance of sins forgiven, but you've never joined yourself to a church or been baptized that you may declare publicly your own profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. It is something that God has commanded and for which he will bless and use you as a witness in this needy, dark world for his glory and to the extension of his church. Thank you for joining with us today, and I trust you'll stay tuned for these closing announcements. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the homepage of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.